at Work with CNBCTV18.com, the show where we talk about emerging trends and technologies and how they're reshaping the world. We talk to the CXOs who think like disruptors and act like startups. I'm your host, Reema Tendulkar. Today we're going to be talking about chatbots, which is basically a piece of a robotic software capable of imitating a human conversation either through a text chat or a voice command. Basically, the likes of Siri, Alexa, your Google Assistant. To discuss the future of chatbots, its technology, its potential, I am joined by Swapan Rajdev, the co-founder and CTO of Haptik. Haptik was founded in 2013. It's been at the forefront of chatbot platforms in India and boasts of Fortune 500 companies like Samsung, Coca-Cola, Future Retail, KFC, ICICI Bank, amongst others. Swapan, thank you very much for speaking with CNBCTV18.com. Let's start with the basics of chatbot. What exactly is a chatbot, the concept behind it?
Sure. First off, Reema, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Chatbot is essentially a machine, right? So it is a machine, but it is a machine with a purpose. So every chatbot has a particular purpose that it needs to fulfill. And the way they fulfill this purpose is by having a conversation with a human, right? So the idea is, you know, just like we have conversations with everyone today, right? So we have conversations over voice, we have, you know, on WhatsApp, on text, we have conversations over multiple over mediums in our day-to-day life. Now, the idea here is, you know, instead of just conversing with a human, there should be a machine on the other side who can essentially be able to chat with you, right? And that's, I think, what, the concept of a chatbot really comes in. Obviously, there's multiple different tests and, you know, the way you kind of look at a chatbot. So, you know, this started a long time ago. If you go to look at it, it's actually, you know, the concept of a machine being able to hold a conversation is as old as 1950s, where, Alan Turing really came up with a test that, hey, you know, can you actually differentiate when you're having a conversation if it's a human or a machine, right? And that's what today we actually call the Turing test as well. So, you know, the concepts of chatbots have been around for a long time, but today they've actually really gone ahead because, you know, the machines have become at a really good place where you can hold actual proper conversations. And as I said, every chatbot comes with a purpose, right? So it's like, you know, there'll be a chatbot that's like, hey, I'm gonna, you know, help you do something, right? So I'm gonna be, you know, I'll be able to keep your to-do list for you. I'll be able to help you shop. I'll be able to kind of play a quiz with you. So each of these chatbots come with a purpose and they do it via a conversation, whether it be voice or text. And, you know, that kind of encompasses the different kind of chatbots that are out there today then.
Okay, we'll discuss the functionality of chatbots, but before that, can you walk us through the technology behind the chatbot?
It's really machine learning that plays a very big part of, what a chatbot is. But within machine learning, so machine learning is, you know, a subset of, let's say, algorithms and, you know, algorithms that you code that help machines improve on their own as time goes, right? One of the subsets of machine learning is called natural language processing, right? Now, this is actually a very interesting field because the way I like to look at it, right? Imagine when a baby is just born or, you know, when, you know, the progression a baby really kind of comes through, go through, right? Like, a baby starts to learn languages, you know, so initially when you start talking to them, they actually don't understand anything, right? They don't understand what different words mean. They don't understand what you're saying. But as time goes, they start learning about different words. They start learning, okay, what are the different ways of conversing, right? Then the babies start getting a personality of their own, right? Then they start conversing in their own way. They choose their vocabulary and things like that. That whole concept, you know, imagine making a machine learn things in a similar manner, right? And that's literally what machines also have to go through. When you first come up with a machine actually won't even understand, you know, that Swapan is a name, that Reema is a name, and then, you know, chocolate is actually something I can eat and pizza is something I can eat. So you have to teach it, right? So you give it more words, you keep kind of, technically making it have conversations and it'll keep learning as time goes. And then it starts realizing, oh, you know, pizza is something I can eat. So when someone's saying, hey, I want to order pizza, I've actually understood you want to eat something. So it's the progression of how you're teaching a language, the language to a machine is what natural language processing really means. And the key part here is the natural language, right? So it's not just that, hey, I understand words, but I should be able to understand structure of sentences, right? Which is how people converse, right? This also means that, you know, there's spelling mistakes involved, there's slang involved in here. Because in conversations in today's day and age, there's multiple different dialects, multiple different ways of saying things. And that's where NLP really comes into play, right? So you really have to teach a machine how to process language, how to understand different words in a language. And, you know, you can go one up higher, which is how is a language structured, right? Within, you know, some interesting problems that we're trying to solve right now is also how do multiple languages work together. So that's essentially the technology behind a chatbot that we are really kind of, that enables a chatbot to have a full conversation.
So at the core of it is machine learning, which basically makes computers smarter and helps them learn through experience, and natural language processing, or NLP, which is basically the voice recognition system which is used by, say, Microsoft's Cortana or Apple Siri or Google's Now. You know, one of the handicaps, perhaps you could say, of chatbots right now is the fact that you can have a limited conversation. So beyond, say, two or three sentences, it's very hard to communicate with a chatbot.
Yes, there are, limitations of chatbots today, right? And, you know, the way I like to look at it, right, and I think that's why when I started off explaining what a chatbot is, it's actually very important to understand that chatbots, each chatbot has a particular purpose, right? So, you know, it obviously, you know, a lot of people today end up thinking that, hey, you know, a chatbot can actually replace a full human or mimic a human altogether. But that's not true, right? Humans have a wide, you know, wide domain of knowledge. You know, humans know about multiple different domains at the same time. Today, it's very hard for chatbots to kind of mimic all of that, right? So when you're building a chatbot, right, or when you're also talking to a chatbot, it's important to understand this chatbot actually comes with a particular purpose and is probably going to be good at that purpose and not at every single thing in the world, right? And I think that's important to understand because, you know, I think while we're striving for, you know, what in today's day and age we call as general AI, which is, you know, an artificial intelligence system that knows about anything and everything, I think we're a little far away from that, right? So today, the way chatbots work and the limitations, as you may call it, is, you know, every chatbot which it comes in is trained on a particular thing, right? So in any machine learning, there's a lot of data that you need. You know, you need to keep feed it to the machines to be able to learn on those things. And that's, I think, by, you know, the limitations of any machine learning, right? That it's been trained on a particular amount of data, a particular kind of data, and it's only be able to learn from that. So, you know, when we're talking about, a chatbot, you know, I think there's different chatbots. You know, some can actually hold a proper conversation. So, I won't say it's limited to two or three sentences back and forth. It really depends on how the conversation progresses and how much data the chatbot is learned from. So when I look at a banking bot, it can actually do, 10 different items that it's probably trained for, right? So it can help you with your online banking. It can probably help you transfer money. It can probably help you troubleshoot a simple thing, maybe order a new debit card. So it's probably trained on 10, 15 different use cases within banking. Now, if you go to look at it, banking itself is a very, very vast domain, right? So it'll take a long time for this bot to keep learning about all the different aspects of the banking domain and then become smarter over a period of time. So I think, where we are today, we're at the very nascent stages of chatbot and even machine learning and NLP for that matter, right? So we're starting to, we're starting to see machines that are able to at least hold conversations. They're able to complete a limited subset of conversations inside a domain or within, a particular domain, right? I do feel that as time goes, these bots will keep getting smarter. They'll start learning about it. And, I won't be surprised if very soon we have a full-fledged, just pure banking bot that can do anything and everything within banking, right? Because banking in itself is a very big domain. Now, if you go to think about the same bot doing something in banking and then insurance and then probably also entertainment, I think that just becomes exponentially harder. And, that will obviously take a little longer than, what I think will come very soon. We have a quiz bot, right? So we have a bot that can help you play quizzes, which it could be a general knowledge quiz, it could be a Bollywood quiz, it could be a cricket quiz. Now, this bot is able to understand, different materials on the interwebs, be like, oh, these are the kind of things happening. It can kind of ask questions around it. And, you can actually have a full conversation for 3 to 4 minutes just playing a quiz with a bot, right? And it's very engaging, as I said, the bots eventually, they have a personality of their own. So, it literally looks like a quiz master. So, like you could be playing, one of those quiz games. and you're literally having a conversation with a bot at this point. You know, apart from that, you know, some very utilitarian ones are, you know, it's interesting, like shopping bots are becoming very popular, right? So let's say when you want to help, you want to get help shopping, you know, you have shopping assistants coming up and helping you. You know, you have your personal assistants handling your to-do list and automatically calling you when things are supposed to happen. So, you know, we're seeing a lot of these day-to-day activities, things that, you know, end up taking my mind space and my time, being automated by these bots on a general day-to-day purpose.
Okay, so a personal assistant can book my flights, it can reserve a table for me, it can make a date on, it can make an addition to a date on my calendar. What does a shopping assistant bot do?
Think about when you get a personal shopper, right? So when you first start off with, you know, they'll ask you questions, okay, you know, what do you like, what do you not like, what do you want to buy? So you first start interacting with like, hey, what do I want to buy with this? And they start giving you options, right? So they give you, you know, one thing to understand here is they probably won't give you infinite options. Like let's say if you go on a website and you start browsing, you just scroll, 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 and you'll keep seeing a lot of options. Here, the purpose of the shopping assistant is to give you a limited set of options which you will like, right? So it's not that I have to go through hundreds of options. I probably have to go through 5-6 and the probability of me liking something is going to be very high in that. Now, you know, as I said, when you first start off, you know, the bot's trying to get to know you, right? What are your likes? What are your dislikes? You know, probably wants to know, hey, what kind of clothes you wear or what kind of food do you eat and things like that. And over a period of time, it keeps learning from you and it keeps understanding what are your likes, dislikes. It also understands the frequency at when you shop and it really kind of helps you on that, right? So simple things, you know, which we see a lot in today's day and age for that matter is, you know, it's a mix of a personal assistant and a shopping assistant where, you know, you can actually be like, hey, add this to my grocery list. You keep adding things to your grocery list. And eventually, once in every 2 weeks, the bot can just go and order all your groceries and get it delivered to your house. So I think, you know, that's kind of where we're getting to. And we've started seeing a lot of chatbots doing a lot of this automatically for you.
One of the limitations you spoke about is that the chatbot is limited by the data it's trained on. Another, when it comes to voice-based assistance, is also it's challenged by the nuances of language-related variables. For instance, there could be a regional accent to a particular English word. How is technology overcoming that challenge when it comes to natural language processing and recognizing it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I think in voice technologies, right? So in voice, there's actually two aspects of it. So one is what we call ASR, which is speech recognition. And the other is, you know, text to speech, right? Which is being able to convert a particular piece of text into a speech. And both of these are, you know, actually very hard problems to solve exactly for those reasons, right? There is accents that are involved. There is, you know, accents is one thing and, you know, within a particular language, multiple dialects exist, right? So that's another one. The third one also becomes, which is multiple languages being, you know, spoken at the same time. So, you know, very popular one is when you're speaking Hindi, no one actually speaks pure Hindi, right? So there's always a mix of a few English words in there. There's always a different language that comes in there. So, you know, I think in today's day and age, the technology is really helping out because, you know, as you said, right, the first part of it is data, right? So how many different, let's say, audio files can I get with different accents around it, right? How many different audio files can I get with languages mixed in there? So, you know, the problems are obviously different algorithms, right? And we have multiple different algorithms to be able to kind of try to solve the problem. The problem is the data, right? Which is how do I get, you know, there's so many different accents, there's so many different ways of saying a particular word. How do I get a sample of each one of them? So that's, I think, where the limitations really hit you in voice technologies, because text has actually been worked on for multiple of decades. And, you know, we've today come with a lot of data on text. Voice is now fairly starting to become new, right? So, you know, a lot of companies and everyone is actually trying to work on gathering data. And I do see, you know, within a couple of years, given the way kind of everything is progressing, we'll have enough data to kind of cover, let's say, you know, 75% of different accents, different dialects and things like that of way people talk. And then that is just basically taking that data and processing them on an algorithm for the machine to learn, right? So, you know, in all of this, right, while algorithms is a hard part, right? So I like to look at, you know, machine learning and, you know, I discuss this with the team a lot. You know, a machine learning person is actually building algorithms to, you know, on how to solve the problem only like 25-30% of the time. The other 70% of the time are all of these peripheral things, right? Which is, how do I get my data, right? Is my data usable or not? Because let's say even when I get audio files, you know, there's a problem of noise around audio, right? So like if I'm talking to you and the room is very quiet, it's great. But when I'm talking to you and the room is very noisy, it's a very different problem altogether. So, you know, what is my data like? Is it usable? Do I need to clean it out? You know, how do I generate this data? Then there's, you know, other things around how much, you know, how much computing power do I need to be able to process all this data? So, you know, in machine learning, there's a lot around the whole thing, and the algorithm part of it is actually a small subset. There's actually a lot more that kind of needs to come together to make it happen.
What is the market size of chatbots in India and globally, and the potential? Are there any estimates of how big the chatbot market can be a few years hence?
Yeah, you know, that's an interesting question. So, you know, chatbots, because, you know, it's a very broad area, right? So, you know, chatbots can actually be put into multiple different markets, right? So you have, you know, today, at least the markets we are working in, you know, you have your customer support market, you have your, you know, lead generation market, you can do feedback generation through it. As we spoke, you have entertainment, you have shopping. So, you know, it's very hard to give just one market size for chatbots, because I think it's going to disrupt a lot of different markets. You know, just giving you, you know, an idea of a particular market which we really play a big part in is, you know, we work in customer support, in automating customer support a lot with a lot of large enterprises. And if you go to look at it, that market in itself is going to be around $80 billion by 2020, right? So that's only one market that chatbots can really work in. Now just, you know, multiply that many folds based on any market that you think chatbots can have an effect in, and that's kind of how big your market really becomes.
You said chatbot market right now is at a very nascent stage, and you're only scratching the surface when it comes to, say, disrupting the customer support market. Any other industries which the chatbot market can disrupt in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, I really do think the personal assistant, you know, it's not really a market that is completely there yet, but I think it's a new market that's really going to come in. And, you know, we're already seeing this with the likes of, you know, Alexas and Google Homes and coming in. I think your home automation, IoT, and everything inside your home, having shopping assistants and personal assistants in that domain, is going to be a very, very massive market that, you know, we've just started to realize the potential of it. And, you know, so anyways, I think, you know, there'll be chatbots in your TV, there'll be chatbots in your microwave, there's already chatbots using Alexa and Google Home. You know, you'll be able to control everything in your house and be able to shop through it and be able to get things done all by just talking, you know, around your house. So I think that's going to be a very massive market very coming soon.
No doubt chatbots are getting smarter, more responsive, more useful. Tell us, according to you, the five most interesting functionalities of chatbots today, the most innovative, the most advanced, according to you.
You know, one of the really good bots, you know, that I've seen globally is, you know, actually, and these were one of the first few one, is, you know, there was Poncho, which was actually, you know, it was a weather bot on Facebook, and it actually does a really phenomenal job of, you know, telling you the weather. So even though it's a very simple use case, it actually makes you feel really good. It's actually, the utility is very high. So I would say that's actually one very interesting one. In the more, you know, day-to-day and kind of more things that we are closer to in the market, I think Swiggy has done a phenomenal job of, you know, combining kind of bots and customer support in general together, right? So whenever you have a problem with your order, or, you know, whenever you've ordered food and something's not right, they actually do a really, really good job of getting your thing done really fast, right? So I think everyone has told me this feedback that Swiggy's bots have been really phenomenal and right on spot on there. So I think that's really good one. I do believe the third one, you know, the quiz bot that we have is actually really, you know, I feel is actually a very innovative bot in that sense, where it's very engaging, and it's actually one of the bots I've seen people interact with, I think, the most, right? So I've seen people spend 4 to 5 minutes without a gap on quiz, just playing quiz back and forth. You know, I think the Amazon has, you know, Alexa and Google Home have some very interesting bots. So I think Alexa has, you know, starting to get a to-do bot, which kind of becomes very, very convenient, which then, you know, ties back to your Amazon carts in general. So I think those are 4 or 5 bots I find very utility-driven, right? Innovation, if you go to look at it, I think there's one very interesting bot, you know, this is the fifth and the final bot that I'll just talk about, which was, you know, there's this bot in China, which in fact was built, where you can have a full conversation like she's your girlfriend or the bot is your boyfriend, right? And you know, if you go to look at it, they had actually done a phenomenal job. You know, millions of people were talking to them, and you know, we had heard stories of some people falling in love with them. You know, that's the true identity of a bot, where you know they come with a personality. They get angry when you know when you say something wrong. They get happy when you're happy. They really are able to relate to a human and make a human feel that they're actually talking to the human. So I think that's kind of where innovation, you know, goes out of the water, because that's truly what, you know, I think everyone's aiming for.
Swapan, thank you very much for your time and speaking to CNBCTV18.com. So clearly, chatbots are here to stay, and they've become extraordinarily popular in the recent times on account of dramatic advancements in technologies like machine learning as well as natural language processing. And we're going to only see more of them. Thanks for watching this episode of Tech at Work. Hope you enjoyed it. Stay tuned for more.